And, man, I don't know what I'd do if I ever talked on the HF and my radio went out. I'd have to go to the QRZ webpage, and they got about 8 items listed there, but you can go straight up to the top to and click on swap meet, and it'll put pages and pages and pages of equipment for sale. But my advice to you, stay off of eBay. This guy had a 2-meter base station, a Kenwood 2-meter base station on there, and he only lived down at Newberry. And I contacted him and told him I'd like to buy it. And he said would only take cash. And I went back to him. I told him, I live in Edmonton, and Newberry's not that far away. I forgot what he wanted for the radio, and then me pay for the shipping. Let me let the repeater drop. I sent him cash. And a few days later, FedEx drove up. I went to the door to get my radio, and he handed me a box. I got it back here in my radio room and couldn't wait to open it up and hook it up and try it out. All it was in there was the shell of the radio and the chassis, nothing else. And nothing I could do because I'd paid cash for it. I did report it to a QRZ. But nothing could be done. So since then, I don't get nothing off eBay. I go to QRZ and listen to Gary every Wednesday night. But I bought a lot of equipment, test equipment off of QRZ, and hadn't been jailed yet.
See, good way to go, Bob. I didn't even know about looking for equipment on QRZ, but I'll definitely start looking on there. The Kenwood TS-2000 is probably the number one radio that does HF that interests me the most, because I only have a handheld for 2 meters and 70 centimeters. I don't have a base station, and I'd love to be able to combine all those radios into one. I know some people like to separate all their radios, and I understand that. That's great. But for me, having one radio that's got all of them in it, that would be great, because it doesn't use up as much space as having multiple ones. And I know I still got to have a whole bunch of different antennas and stuff, but having one unit to move around, that's all the radios put into one right there. And although it's big, it's a lot smaller than getting an HF radio and a radio for 6 meters and 10 meters and another one for VHF, UHF, all that kind of stuff. Instead of getting 3 different radios, you can have all in one, which is really nice. I've got to use them a good bit because the club owns, I think, 2 of them. Yeah, I frequently run those during field day. I've only missed like 1 or 2 field days since I've gotten my license, and I've used those radios every field day. I usually go help set up and tear down both. But I've used those radios a good bit, and that's why I've come to like them so much, because I've got familiar with them. So I'm hoping to get one of them someday.
Say 4RM. Are you going to be at the beat tomorrow night, Daniel?
I'm probably going to go to bed. I usually end up working 14 hours on Monday, and I am pretty much feeling dead by the time I get off work. I go straight home, and I'm doing good to remember to eat something before I before I fall asleep.
Can you take down my number?
Number, what's up? What is it?
It's our area code 380-3877. 380-3877. Okay, just call me sometime. I got a trade. I'll be glad to work with you.
Area code 864, correct?
Roger. Roger, I think we don't.
Sounds good. I'll hit you up, Robert.
Okay, so I'll be up about another hour tonight if you want to call, or, well, maybe 30 minutes or so. But, no, I've got something sitting here you'd probably like, and I could probably use some of your time, if you know what I mean.
Hey, Robert, I'll work something out with you. Thank you very much. That's great.
Okay, and hey, Walt, bye, Walt. Hey, A4RM, clear QRT. I'm gone for tonight.
V. ZYB. Yeah, I think Walt was wanting to know what I was using over here. Honestly, buddy, this what I'm using for a base is a mobile I picked up at Hamcation in Orlando. The last Hamcation that they actually put on, you know, right before COVID hit us. And the whole group of guys that I went with bought one of these things. It's a very different radio. It's a VR-N7500, Victor Romeo-Nancy 7500. And this thing has no face on it. It's completely controlled and programmed by an application you install on your phone. And it has all kinds of features on it. I mean, this thing's set up to decode Morse code. It's got a DTMF tone decoder set up for SSTV decode and encode, all kinds of stuff. I haven't figured out the SSTV part of the software yet, but it's an awesome radio. And for the price, I mean, this is another thing that's pretty unique about this thing. Let me let it drop a minute. Inside the software for this radio, you can actually create what they call a network channel within the application, and then you can bind that network channel to a local repeater. And any amateur radio operator that has the application installed on their device, you can give them talk rights for that network channel that you created that's bound to the repeater of your choice, and it gives them access to whatever repeater you bind to that network channel.
Well, you got me interested.
Dirt cheap, really, for what it is. You can pick them up at Arnell Electronics in Cincinnati for $145, and all day long. And that's about all I paid for. I paid a few dollars more for it at Hamcation. And I believe, you know, it might be $149 at R&L, but I believe they're $145. And, you know, it looks like a regular mobile. It just doesn't have a face on it. You know, you have like the standard LED lights, transmission, receive, and all that you would see on a regular radio. Other than that, the only thing that the face has on it is a plug-in for the mic, the wire mic. But another thing that's cool about this thing, you can actually connect a set of Blue Parrot headphones to this thing if you're driving and don't want to use the wired mic, or you can connect a Bluetooth wireless hand mic to it, a fist mic, whatever you want to do. I mean, there's so many options on this thing. It's a really nice radio for the price. I had four of my buddies from the UK that went to that show, the last one about a year and a half ago now, I guess, maybe a little more than a year and a half ago, and every one of them bought one. Actually, we bought the last eight that Arnell Electronics had at their table at Hamcation.
Well, I'm sure going to look into that. I'm saving my money to go to Shelby to buy me an amplifier. But after I got the report from my doctor last week, I'll be happy with what I got. I got to downsize and sell some stuff. But, man, that's a good, that's the best sounding radio I've heard on 2 meters. K4OI. It's your time, Daniel.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying too much attention to what the name of that radio was until you started talking about all the stuff that it does. What was the name of that thing real quick? I missed it. I wasn't really paying attention.
CHZYB for ID. Oh, no worries. It is Victor Romeo dash N7500. VR-N7500. And, yeah, like I think Walt was one telling you to stay away from eBay. You don't go out there because they're trying to rob people. You know, you get, I think I saw it as high as $350, and that's just robbery. But you can pick them up at R&A, and typically any other vendors that are selling these, they're right around the same price, $145, I think, $149. But I know for a fact that R&A Electronics in Cincinnati are like $145. Because a couple of my friends have picked them up, and they've got a Facebook users group page with tons of information. This is a radio that's manufactured out of China. Seems like that's where all of them are manufactured these days. So you can actually download the PDF manual within the application, but it's in Chinese. So, no good to us, right? But there's a guy in the UK that actually wrote a complete manual for this thing. And you can go to their users group Facebook page. Just, you know, type in VR-N7500 and it'll pull up the users group page. And any information you could possibly need or want will be on that page. Downloadable files, comments. And, you know, if you shoot a question out there, somebody gets right back to you. But it's definitely worth the price. I mean, honestly, I've had Kenwoods, I've had ICOMs, I've had Yaesus, and I'm telling you, I love this radio. And, you know, both the dual band, 2 meter 440, and it does a great job. And, Walt, the antenna I'm using is just a homebrew. It's a copper J-pole. And a buddy of mine in Ohio, let me let this drop. Mine in Columbus, Ohio actually built it for me several months ago. This is the second one he's actually built me in the last 18 years, I think, something like that. But this one, he did a little modification on. You can actually break it down and throw it in a canvas bag or whatever, take it out in the field day, camping, whatever. So it's a super nice radio, and he's got this thing so tuned in that just about all the way up and down the band, I've got a flat match on this thing.
It is. Go ahead, Nathan.
Nathan again. I forgive you, Walt. Don't feel bad. Thanks for getting back with me on that, Jeff. That's very interesting. I'm going to look this thing up. That's very interesting. Very, very interesting. And if you can figure out how the slow scan part works, there is a slow scan net that occurs in this area. I don't remember what date or dates, what day of the week or multiple days of the week or what time or anything, but I know there's a slow scan net around here. I heard Dave mention it right at the beginning of the net because I had forgot it was my turn for net control. But I heard him mention it right at the beginning of the net. There is a slow scan TP net around here, so if you can figure out how that works, there's a net for it. As far as the radio goes, that's very interesting. I'll definitely look into that. And I have a copper J-pole right now. It's sitting right beside me. I haven't put it on my building yet, but I'm thinking about doing that sometime soon. I'll probably get in around to that in the next few weeks or so. But it's sitting right beside me. I just haven't gotten it hooked up yet. I need to go swing by the wire man and pick me up some coax and some connectors, and then I'll be good to go.
Hey, I forgot one other thing that's in the software, in the application. You can also set up APRS within the app, and I use it. I leave it turned on 24/7. And I did get the information on the SSTV net last week. And I can't remember who gave it to me. They gave me a repeater of 146.2. 640 with a PL of 91.5, and I think they said it was in Hendersonville. I can't get into it. I tried it on low, medium, and high power, and for whatever reason, I'm not getting in. If that's the correct info, and I've got my J-pole up near 40 feet to the tip of the J-pole, so if that's the wrong repeater and anybody knows, please let me know, because I would like to. I think they said the guy's name's Sid that runs that net, but anyway, I'm not sure who's next. I'll go ahead and turn it on over to whoever's next out there. KCHZYB.
Comment. KN4TZW, I'm in, out in Hendersonville. That repeater is the W4YK repeater, and I think that net's on tonight, on Sunday nights at like 9, something like that, because it just went off. But yeah, the repeater's in Hendersonville, and the call sign for the repeater is W4YK. I can look and get the numbers on it here in a minute, but I just used that app, repeater book or whatever. But you should be able to hit it, though, with a... I mean, I'm sitting in the parking lot here in Hendersonville and, you know, talking to y'all down there pretty easy. So unless you're just way on down towards Columbia, you should be able to make it. But, yeah, it's at 9 o'clock on Sundays. Anyway, enjoyed the conversation. And I'm a little bit familiar with that radio you're talking about there that ain't got no face on it, because I just about bought it myself, but it's just a little unconventional looking. And anyway, y'all have a good evening. Name is Gabriel, KN4TZW, I'll be clear.
Happy to check you in. This is KJ4WZ. I'm net control for the Blue Ridge Community Net. Would you like me to check you in?
Yeah, you can. I was... kind of got in a little bit late and thought it was over with, so I normally check into it. Yeah, if you would, check me in and out, and I guess this is all the comment I'll make. I'm fixing to get out of the car, but anyway, I hope that information helped you a little bit. Back to net.
Control, I'd like to recognize KN4TZW. That is Gabriel Hendersonville. Thanks for checking in, Gabriel. And I have that repeater pulled up. The call sign on it is WB4YAO, is the call sign of the repeater. It is 146.640. Input is 146.040. It's got a negative offset of 6. It does have a PL of 91.5. So, it does say it's in Hendersonville. I don't know exactly where this is at, but it does say that it's in Hendersonville somewhere.
Did you say that call sign was again?
Whiskey Bravo 4 Yankee Alpha Oscar. WB4YAO.
That. All right. I'll double check everything, but it sounds like I've got it. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense if I can't get into that, because I'm hitting repeaters a lot further out than that one. And what really surprised me, before I got this J-pole in the air, I just had it jammed in the ground right outside my bedroom window. And I was talking to a guy on Simplex one evening, and he was way up in the mountains somewhere. I don't know where. I'm not even sure what his elevation was, but I cranked this thing up on high power at 50 watts, and like I said, the J-pole was just jammed in the ground, and he would end up being 60-plus miles from me, and he said I was hitting him full scale, so which that's pretty surprising. And to be honest with you, this part of the country is phenomenal for amateur radio. I haven't seen anything like it since I was in Columbus, Ohio years ago. You know, I mean, I just moved here this past December. I was on Hilton Head Island for 8 years, and the repeaters there, it's like ghost town. I mean, I talked to more tourists than I did anyone else out there, and I actually ended up putting all my radios up, and I was 100% on Echo Link. until I got into some DMR, then I start doing it. But yeah, I mean, I'm loving it here. And just about every repeater I use in this area, there's someone on. So I'm definitely loving it for sure. But anyway, I appreciate the info. I'll go ahead and turn it on to whoever's next out there. KCHZYB.
Jeff, and I did want to let you know one more thing about this repeater. It's called the IRLP node, 4686. This is the IRLP node on this thing. So if you want to write that down, that's probably an alternative way to get in there. I don't know how slow CAN-T even. Well, nah, you couldn't do that because that's internet linking. So you wouldn't be able to slow scan into there, but it would at least give you a way to see if the repeater was active. Anyway, thanks for hopping in there, Jeff. 73's to you, and you have a good night. And, well, I guess it's back. I'll make one more call for check-ins first. Have I missed anyone for check-ins or comments? Please call KJ4WZM on that control. I don't hear any. I'm going to hand it back over to you while I get ready to type up my net report.
I stuck around for a little ride, too, because always somebody comes in, chimes in with some information like Jeff gave us. I've got that pull up on my computer now. Yeah, I think I'll buy one Tuesday when I get my check. And see, he always checks in with me on Tuesday night and I always give him a chance to announce his net. And I think that net starts at 8:30 because he's always finished it when he checks in with me. So with that, Nathan, I know you're tired, ready to go to bed, get out there tomorrow and drive that truck. So, Daniel, I'll say 73's on your final. Been good talking to you, buddy.
Well, thank you for hanging around for Rag 2. Well, I definitely appreciate it every time someone hangs around for Rag 2, more than anything. Especially recently, Rag 2 has been getting interesting. I keep learning something every single net that I do, and I'm absolutely loving that. For the first year of being net control, my nets are really quiet. And now that there's some more participation, I am learning so much. And I can't even tell people how thankful I am. Every single one of y'all has stayed around for Rag 2 and comments and everything. Y'all don't even know how thankful I am. I'm learning so much. And I just really appreciate it. So thank you to each and every one of you that has gotten back in here tonight to talk. That is awesome. Alrighty. I'm going to go ahead and type up my net report. I have 56 check-ins for tonight and two pieces of traffic. So one moment, and I'll go ahead and get this all set up.
Quick comment?
You're more than welcome to.
Sure you weren't going to start your net report there. Walt, about the SSTV part of the application on that, I'm still trying to find out how that portion of it works, but it is there. I just haven't figured it out yet. But if you pick one up, maybe we can figure it out together. And the application that you use to program that thing, it is the simplest way that I've ever programmed a radio. I mean, I don't know how many repeaters you have in your radio, but I just put, you know, the local ones that I can get into easily, because this is just my base, so I mean, it's not going to be mobile. And I had this thing programmed in like 20 minutes, I think, 15 or 20 minutes, so it's very, very easy to program. There's nothing hard about it at all, but, you know, when you do get it, just get a hold of me out here. Look me up on QRZ or something, and we can walk through it the first time, step by step, if you want.
Hey, Jeff. I'm definitely, I'm 73 years old. I'm losing the use of my legs. and I'm going to end up spending a lot of time in here in the shack, but I was taking my money up to go up to the ham fest at Shelby to get me an amplifier, but I need to be downsizing because I know I'm going to have to move my shack up into the house with my daughter. And, man, the way that radio sounds, that is the best sounding radio I've heard on here. I mean, it's really good. Back to you, Jeff.
First time I heard the audio on it, a couple of friends of mine that that live out in Lugolf, South Carolina, they we were testing them one night and on the SC Hearts. We're on that one weekend, and those guys have the same radio. And I couldn't believe the audio. And, you know, there's really nothing. The only thing I don't like about this mic is it doesn't have the DTMF keypad on it. I don't know why it doesn't, but that's the only thing I don't like about it, especially when it comes to the SS, or not SSTV, especially when it comes to wanting to open up the SC Heart system during the week. Which I haven't done it, but, you know, I just downloaded a DTMF tone generator on my phone, you know, if I want to open it up. But that's the only thing that I didn't like about it is not having a DTMF keypad. It's got, it does have controls on it to change channels, volume control, and stuff like that. But other than that, that's the only thing that kind of disappointed me a little bit. But other than that, man, it is really a nice radio.
I forgot your call sign, but let's go ahead and do his net report. And I called the net on Tuesday night, and after I closed the net out, there's always a bunch of guys come back in here, and it's like a rag shoe, so... Let Nathan do his net report, and if there's any other information you want to pass, we'll be here listening for a while. So, Nathan, K4 OIM, go ahead and do your net report, buddy.
To make one last call, I missed anyone for check ins. Please call KJ4WZM or net control.
Okay, Kilo 4, Romeo Oscar Whiskey, Richard and Greenville, 73, good evening.
To recognize K4ROW, Richard and Greenville, thank you for checking in. Me, Richard, you are check-in number 57. Thanks for hopping in here. 73, see you, and good night. I'm going to go ahead and do my net port. That was actually supposed to be two pieces of traffic. I missed that, but I just sent Dave a message to have that corrected. So I actually had two pieces of traffic tonight, not one. But this is KJ4WZM now securing the Blue Ridge to meet our net with her. Thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use 73. See everybody. Thank you for checking in on the net, and good night to you. I'll still be around for a few.
I don't know how long you've been net control, but I have to tell you something, buddy. You work this net like a veteran out there. That's all I got to say, man. It was nice meeting you tonight.
WZM, you still there? Daniel? Mr. Tyre, this is K4OIM, Walt, up here on Lake Boyd in Inman. I'm still monitoring and stick around for a little ride shoot.
ZYB here in Greenville. Jeff will stick around for a few minutes. Walt, I'm actually supposed to be going to that ham fest in Shelby. I've never been there. My couple buddies in Lugolf, we're supposed to get together and go, so maybe we'll run into each other up there.
Well, I am Friday. Yeah, I got my license in 78, and I've been to it every year. except last year. And it's a great place to pick up radio equipment or computer equipment. And I'll buy every doggone key I see. My brother asked me the other day, he's a big time CV'er. Why do you want another telegraph key? Well, why do you want another D-104 mic?
Yeah, right. I hear you. I know. I've got an identical twin brother. He's got his amateur license as well. But we both started off. On 11 meter, and he's got a ton of D-104s. And he's got a couple Turner. He's got a Turner Plus 50, and he's got one other one. They're really nice looking microphones, and all these D-104s look brand new. He has them standing upright, you know, sitting on a shelf, and he just drops freezer bags down over top of them to keep everything off of them. But yeah, they're nice microphones, and I haven't been to that Ham Fest yet, but I looked it up online, and it looks like they may have a decent flea market portion of that one.
You all day to go in each building with the vendors and then go out there to the tailgate portion. It goes and goes and goes. They people up there that camped out in the Winnebago setting up stuff, and it's at the fairground. And the stalls where they show the cattle and all during the week of the fair, they come in there and clean them out, put fresh straw down, and they got dealers in there. I mean, this year, I'm going to have to rent a golf cart to get around. But they got golf carts for rent. I didn't know that till I went up there to Shelby and bought a antenna rotor and a controller from Herb up there. And he told me, he said, man, they got golf carts you can rent. And the guys walked around with a yellow vest. If you buy something that's too heavy to carry, those guys put it in their golf cart and take you and it to your vehicle. I mean, and they got all kind of food. Boy, they got some of the best barbecue you ever ate in your life up there. K4OIM. Yeah, I wrote it down. I thought I wrote your call sign down somewhere. Anyhow, back to you, Jeff.
Walt, it takes me a minute to remember call signs myself. KCZYB, and you had mentioned something about your legs. Yeah, I've got some pretty major issues going on with mine, actually, as well. That has been going on for about 3 years now. Actually, my legs and my feet both, and they still haven't figured it out. I mean, I've been unable to work for several years now. I've got a bad nerve disease in my arms and shoulders, so that's what stopped me, and they think it may have spread into my legs and feet. We're not 100% sure yet, but the doctors on Hilton Head Island couldn't figure it out, and so far we haven't gotten any diagnosis here in Greenville yet. But the medical system here is about 1,000 times better than what I was dealing with on that island, so hopefully they come up with something soon. And if it wasn't for amateur radio, I probably would have went insane by now. It's the only thing that's kept my sanity is talking on the radios and all this. So, but I tell you, the Ham Fest I used to go to every year when I was still in Ohio was the Dayton Ham Fest. I used to go to it every year, and it was a sad day when they moved out of the arena and moved it to a fairgrounds. I can't, and I always get it mixed up. I'm not sure what little town that's in now, the Dayton Ham Fest. It's out just right outside of Dayton. And I mean, I guess everybody, well, new people that are going to Dayton for the first time love it. But it's kind of a sore subject with veterans that had been going to Dayton for decades, you know. So, and then a couple of years ago, a tornado blew through there and just destroyed that arena. There was talk of them possibly moving back into it, and then a tornado took it out. So no chance of that ever happening. And Orlando was the first time I'd ever been to that one. That was a good show. They're number two, from what I understand, right below Dayton. But Shelby should be a good time, man. I'm really looking forward to it. And all that good food, yeah, that's dangerous for me.
You're on Lake Lanier, right on the North Carolina, South Carolina line. And of all days I have it, I had a stroke on July the 4th. And it's just a mild one, but I had to go through rehab. And my daughter, I've only got one child, my daughter, she convinced me to move in with her. I'm single. And I moved in with her, and I didn't have room for my radio equipment, so I bought a 30-foot pull-behind camper, and I about gutted it, and that's where my shack's at. And I was sitting in there one night, I was monitoring like 7269, the hurricane net, when Hurricane Irma come through, and the wind blew the back door open. I got up, went back there to close the door, and I got to feeling dizzy. The last thing I remember, I threw my arm up to catch myself, but I fell out the door and went straight down on my head. Broke my neck, laid out there in the yard in the pouring rain and cold all night, paralyzed from my neck down. And she came out there about 7 o'clock the next morning, literally let the repeater drop. She found me, loaded me up in the car, and when she got me to the emergency room, they said it was a thousand wonders she had to kill me, moving me. But I messed up C3, 4, 5, and 6 vertebrae. So I got 6 plates in my neck, and the part of being paralyzed, that left me after about 3 days. But my left hand, I can't open up my pinky finger and one next to it. They told me I was going to have something called neurography. And right now, I cannot feel either one of my legs. I'll go to bed at night, and I go through the VA, and they telling me it's circulation. But I called the net last Tuesday night. But I wake up during the night and throw the cover back and look to see if I took my pants and my shoes off. I mean, I can't tell. But last Tuesday night, I was calling the net, and the leg got to get worse. I ended up going to the emergency room, and I got there about a quarter after 12, and the next morning at 7 o'clock, I'd been there all night, wide awake, starving to death. There had been several doctors in and checked me, and finally one come in at 7:15. And he sat down, he said, Mr. Bradshaw, that neurography you got, said it ain't circulation. It's that neurography is progressing. there's no cure for it, and eventually you're going to end up in a wheelchair. You'll lose the use of both legs, and my left one is just about that bad now. And you're talking about depressed. I was depressed, but I woke up Thursday morning, I laid there in bed, and I thought, God's let me live 73 years. No surgeries, no nothing until I broke my neck. And I'm trying to do everything I can do around here before it gets to I can't walk. But I ain't depressed no more. And I get up in the morning. I come down here at my shack about 8 o'clock, put me on a pot of coffee, and I lay down here to quit talking on the radio. Roger, I wrote KC, I forgot the middle, the letter. But anyhow, back to you, Jeff.
Hey, give me just a second, Walt. I'm going to get your call sign myself. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget it, and then I'll make some comments on your story there. Lord have mercy. Okay, what's your call sign, buddy?
4, Oscar India Mike. That's a good call for CW, isn't it?
Stuff is. Kilowatt 4, Oscar India Mike. Yeah, that's a good one right there. Hold on just a sec. Jot it down there, buddy. Lord have mercy, man. Wow. That's some story, my friend. I mean, you're lucky to be alive. I mean, for something like that to happen, then you're laying out in freezing cold rain all night long till the next day. That had to have been terrifying. You know, awake and not being able to move and get yourself out of harm's way. I mean, I couldn't imagine dealing with something like that. Lord have mercy. Well, all I got to say about that, man, is the big man upstairs must have had other plans for you.
About a week after I'd been in the hospital, they couldn't understand why I wasn't paralyzed from my neck down permanently. And then the doctor said, I can't even understand why you're alive. But I cut a lot of the nerves that control my fingers on my left hand. And then when they went in there and put those 6 plates in there, 4 rods and 8 screws, the neurosurgeon had to cut some more nerves to make room. And it's right there at the one that controls your breathing and the one that controls your muscles. If I jump like off of a step or something, or if I get hit in the back where they had to fuse my neck back together, I'm dead.
Yeah, that's just crazy, man. I mean, Lord have mercy. Yeah, you're definitely lucky to be here. I mean, to fall out of a camper like that on your head. Yeah, I would imagine you have to be pretty careful with anything you're doing at this point, don't you?
I was building me a 8x10 porch out here on my camper where I could sit out there and look down at the lake. I'm up here at Lake Bowen, and I was so afraid I'd step on a board with a nail in it and not feel it. I walked around out there the other day and I noticed my foot wasn't right. And I looked down and I stepped on a board with a nail in it that had stuck in the sole of my boot, but it didn't come through, and it scared me. Yeah, I have to watch what I'm doing. I got out there yesterday cutting grass, and my daughter went to the store. She came back and caught me out there cutting grass, and she raised sand. I ain't dead. I can get on a riding lawnmower. Doggone it. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Yeah, you gotta do some stuff to keep you active, but that sounds like it could be pretty dangerous. I mean, and you know, I don't know anybody personally, but I've seen documentaries of people that, I'm not even sure what the name of the disease is, but whatever it is, it makes you not be able to feel anything in your whole, like your hands, nothing. You know, somebody could take a knife, cut your arm, leg, whatever, and you're not going to feel anything. There was I think I had seen a true story about this little girl that had this problem, and she basically couldn't do anything. I mean, because her parents were so scared. I mean, like getting burnt or, you know, running bath water and having it too hot and sit in it, just, you know, blister your skin or whatever. You know, that's pretty much what you're dealing with your legs. And I've got that problem with my left leg. And they still haven't really figured that out. My left leg stays numb all the time. I mean, to the point where I could jam a knife in my leg and not feel it. And I've had that looked at, oh, I don't know, half a dozen times in between Hilton Head and here. And, you know, they did take an MRI on my back, said that there looks like there's a disc that is slipped out of place, but they're acting like that's not what's causing the problem. So who knows what it is. But, yeah, well, that's something else, man. That would worry me if I had something like that going on, and not being able to tell if you've taken your clothes off before you go to bed. That'd be a weird sensation. So, I mean, you just can't feel anything. I mean, both legs are just completely 100% numb, so you can touch your legs and not feel anything, huh?
Touch my legs gently. I can't feel it. But if I just take and grab a hold of them, I can feel it. But when I was in the ICU, I couldn't stand anyone to touch me. My arms or anything. That was the most painful thing to feel. It felt like you were on fire. But if you grab me by my arm, I could feel it. And this is just the reverse of it. It's, I don't know. They got me on this drug, gabapentin, that you gotta have a prescription to get it. And the highest dose the VA could give me was 1,600 milligrams a day. Yeah, you can take one. Back in, when I was in Vietnam, back in the 60s, I got the smoking pot. And this thing will make you feel so high. It's like getting drunk. And not, you just high, you in a daze. And the VA started me out on 300. Ended up, I was up to 1,600. And this doctor, this neurologist, bumped them up to 2,400. And I feel like I'm high all the time. And it, the side effects of that, it disconnects your brain to your feet, and I already can't feel my feet. What do you do?
EGY beef ID. Well, yeah, Walt, I know exactly what you're talking about. I take that stuff, too. And they crank me up to 4,500 milligrams a day. But I pretty much stopped taking it. It made me sicker than a dog. I mean, you know, they start me off low amounts just like they did you. But it helped, but it didn't. For the milligrams I was taking, it didn't seem like it was doing what it should. But I was on it for years. I mean, I'm still supposed to take it now. But I slowly took myself off of it. And fortunately, there wasn't any real major side effects coming off the stuff. But yeah, you're right. It makes you feel all looped out all the time. And I couldn't function. I mean, that's a lot of milligrams a day. And, you know, that was over a five-year period that they got me up to that high of a milligram. And, I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. I think it's the same thing we're talking about, Neurontin and Gabapentin. I think they might be the same drug, except one of them's a generic name, I think. I could be wrong on that. I know, if not, I know they're in the same family anyway. But I'm taking one or the other.
I was watching CBS News, Evening News, the other night, and they were talking about drugs. And they went to Gabapentin. Yeah, you're correct. You're right, and Gabapentin, same thing. But they said they were given, instead of a thing, I can't think of that pill, they give heroin a addicts when they come in off. But they said that these addicts that couldn't get heroin or meth were buying the 300 milligram Gabapentin and taking six or seven of them at one time and getting the same high as they were getting off of heroin or meth. And in New York, the things were selling on the street for $1 a hundred. Like 300 milligrams, you could get $3 for them. And they are thinking about putting it down as a Schedule I drug. Man, it's hard enough to get anything for pain now. If they make that a Schedule I drug and you have to go to a pain clinic to get it and all that crap, I just don't know. But I'm getting mine through the VA. I get $180 a month. A month. So I think it's KC3GYBK4OIM. Back to you, Jim.
OIM KC8ZYB. It's Kilo Charlie 8 Zulu Yankee Bravo there, Walt. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, the thing I don't like about any of it, because, you know, well, let me backtrack here for a second. The disease I've got is just unbearably painful. I mean, 99% of the time, unless I've got doctor appointments or something, I just sit here in my room because the pain I deal with in my legs, my arms, shoulders, and all that is just too much to deal with. And this is how bad it actually got. I mean, 2 years ago or so, I had a radical surgery done, and they actually implanted a pump into my abdomen that disperses medicine into my system over a 24-hour period of time. And, you know, it's the oral medication I take, it's the same as the oral medication I take, except it's in the pump. But, the bad thing is, you know, when you go to a pharmacy or whatever, to get your medicine. They act like you're some kind of fiend or something, you know. I mean, they treat you bad, man. It doesn't make a difference how long you've been dealing with that pharmacy. They just treat you bad.